Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Welcome back to another recording of the Bastards of Boston Baseball. You can find us at Bastards underscore Boston. Chris, the Sox just took what I'm going to call a miracle 2 out of 3 from the Seattle Mariners. Finishing today, matinee game where Garrett Crochet goes out and beats Seattle 3-1. What are your thoughts, buddy?
It's funny because just looking at the scores, you would think, oh, that's a pretty sustainable way to win, especially coming off the Yankee series. However, three hits, I mean, two of them just happened to be jacks out of the park, right? And which got us our three runs today. Obviously, we got our doors blown off in the Walker Buehler game, which was not good to see coming off that Yankee series. And then I think the first game was probably the most encouraging, also probably the most emotional coming off the Devers trade. I'm not feeling nearly as positive as I was coming off of that Yankee series, for obvious reasons, but as well as even the way that we won these games. What are your thoughts?
I'm shocked they won 2 out of 3. I thought the Devers thing, when we recorded that night, was going to send us into an immediate tailspin. Then my feelings started to change once we started hearing from some of the players, Cora, and I was really kind of interested to see how that first game went, and they played a pretty clean game of baseball and won the game. Giolito had an unbelievable 3 punch outs to get out of a bases loaded, no outs jam. I didn't see that coming. And we're going to talk about the first two games briefly because tonight's pod is about, you know, Wednesday's game. Buehler from Jump Street, his stuff stunk. He was spinning sliders, backdoor sliders into the right-handed batter's box. He was yanking sliders into the left-hander's batter's box. His command was terrible. I could tell by about the second inning that his body language sucked and he hadn't even given up a run yet. I think he knew he didn't have it, and we just never had a chance in that game. As for today's game, I watched bits and pieces. I did see both home runs. I listened to some of it on the radio and I missed a little bit of the end. What I'll say is it's encouraging to see the home run from Mayer, the home run from Story, who continues to hit. But they don't win today's game if it's not Crochet, in my opinion. This is a house of cards, smoke and mirrors, however you want to put it. This team just, without Devers in the lineup and with no, here's the caveat. If Roman Anthony starts to hit like he has hit as he's progressed through the system, then I worry less. But right now, this lineup is just, there's no way to piece it together to make it look formidable. And I like his approach, Roman Anthony, but he's just not hitting. He's just not hitting. 0 for 2 today with a walk. Oh my God, I'm spacing it on his name, left field. Duran's pressing. He's just not hitting the pitches that are there to drive, and soft contact on tough pitches on the black or out of the zone. It doesn't look right. I think he's taking it upon himself to kind of pick up the slack here with Devers gone, and it's just not working. So I don't know that this is a sustainable way to win. You know, I mean, the pitching's been fantastic without the Buehler start. If they can continue to pitch like that, they may win some 4-2 games, but you got to hit. You got to hit consistently. You got to score in more than one inning. And what I watched in Seattle was concerning, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, I mean, the pitching has carried us pretty much for the last week and a half at this point. But it's not sustainable, the offense. Like you said, scoring even in just two innings every game. They need to be playing a different type of offense, a different type of game. They've got to get guys on bases, you know, on base, and just try and drive them in with some, you know, singles here and there, maybe some doubles. Stop trying to shoot for the home run ball. I think to your point, Roman Anthony is like ridiculously pressing at this point, to a point where I'm starting to, I don't want to say lose confidence in him overall, but I was really hoping that post Devers, one of these kids was going to really step up. Preferably Roman Anthony, considering the way he started. Seems like Mayer is starting to settle in, but he's very hit or miss at this point. Campbell has still been an albatross in the lineup to this point. And Roman Anthony, I hit out his first home run, which is super exciting to see, but hasn't really gotten anything else to materialize at this point. You know, in today's game, I mean, it was Crochet to your point. We don't win that game if it's not Crochet. I mean, there was a couple of moments early in the game where Mariners got a couple of doubles. He ended up scoring off of one of them to tie the game 1-1. But outside of that, he pretty much kept them in control. I never really felt threatened. But, I mean, when you only have a one-run, two-run lead, all it takes is one guy to get, you know, whether it's a walk or a bloop, and the next thing you know, one swing can tie the game. And the way that our offense is, I don't have the confidence that we're going to be able to have the run production and play catch up in these games anymore without Devers. You know, it's funny. We think about prior to Devers being gone, even when we would go down four runs, five runs, it was always, all right, we're going to get back in it. We're probably just not going to win because our bullpen's going to blow it. Right. But now if we, like yesterday in the Walker Buehler game, as soon as that thing was 5-0, it was over. I'm like, there's no way this offense is scoring five runs. There's no way they're coming back. And that's cause for concern.
Well, that guy was throwing lights out too. He was awesome. His location was unbelievable. So a lot to unpack there. I'd like to add one more thing. I absolutely hated the decision with the lineup today on Crochet Day with a day off tomorrow to not have up the middle defense with Rafaela in center and Navarez catching. I saw a stat today and I haven't stat checked it. So we're going to get somebody to, you know, correct me if I'm wrong. I think I saw a stat that said Connor Wong has 10 hits, all singles or something like that. And I don't know if that's the whole season or the time frame. I know he hasn't played much with the injury and Navarez taking the shot, but man, Navarez has been so good. He's so good defensively. He's a middle of the bat guy. I don't know why he can't play in a matinee and rest tomorrow. That was just a frustrating decision. And then, you know, we get away with it because Crochet is Crochet and they hit the two home runs, but it's not a formula. It was a chance to win the series and you just didn't put your best lineup out there. That's my opinion of it. Now you mentioned the two doubles we're giving, and I forgot who hit the ball to Duran. If we're giving that a double, that's some pretty loose scorekeeping. Because I'm sorry, you're a major league left fielder. The ball hit his glove. You got to catch that ball. And then he scores on a pass ball, going back to my prior point, with Wong behind the plate. And they don't even score by way of hit. So those are the things when I'm talking about smoke and mirrors and a house of cards, those are the things that we've done up until about 10 days ago. And I don't know what clicked. We started playing better defense or we started getting better starting pitching, but there's still those indicators there that we're ready to revert back into a circus when Duran misplays that ball and they score without a hit, in my opinion. I'm not the scorekeeper, but, you know, so there's just indicators there, you know. Now, with that said, Roman Anthony's going to hit, in my opinion. His approach, his patience, his demeanor, all of it suggests to me he's going to hit. His trajectory through the minor league system, you know, I'm not so concerned about it. But at some point, too, for whatever it is now, 22, wears on anybody. I don't care if you're Barry Bonds, Albert Pujols, Prime Nomar. Like, 2 for 22 is a problem. At the same time, Devers is traded and you're inserted as the three hitter. It's, you know, and I don't know where you think this is going to go, but he has to be successful. There's so much pressure on Roman Anthony in the middle of the lineup, the timing of the trade, all of it. You know, I'm just, and I don't care if they're bloopers, but on Friday with Devers in the building and he's going to go 7 for 9 with 6 home runs, I'm convinced of it. We'll talk about that in a little bit more at the end as we preview the next series. But please, baseball gods, give Roman Anthony 2 bloopers and a 2 for 3 or a 2 for 4 night to get himself going, because he has to start hitting.
Yeah, I mean, the Devers trade couldn't come at a worse time. I mean, I know we speculated, you know, the potential of a Devers trade at one point. And then it actually happens, and the return we got didn't help as far as getting a formidable bat in the lineup to help make up for it. But yeah, Roman Anthony has an immense amount of pressure. Twofold, right? Because he also didn't sign an extension, right? So now he probably feels like, quote unquote, he's somewhat playing for a contract, even though we know at some point it's probably going to happen. Although if the trend continues at 2 for 22 and that became an albatross while he stays up here, then, I mean, that would remain to be seen. But inserting him third in the lineup. Yeah, it's a lot. He's 21, 22 years old. And now he's going to go, huh?
He's 21.
Yeah, 21. So he's going to go into San Francisco and he's going to face against the guy that he's essentially replacing in the lineup. Right. So I don't know. I don't feel good about it. I would agree with you. There's things there to suggest he should get out of it, but until he does, he hasn't. Right. I mean, we said the same thing about Tristan Casas. So a lot of signs he could be a good hitter, but until he is a good hitter, he's not a good hitter. Right now, I'm a lot more impressed with Mayer to this point. He definitely, out of the three of them, looks the most polished, especially even defensively. He makes some really good throws from third base.
He's been awesome at third, Chris.
Which
he's been
awesome. Not our natural position for him. And to be fair, Roman Anthony has not looked that great. Even when it's not necessarily his fault, like there's been some balls that have gone and kind of caromed, and he hasn't played well when it's gone off the wall or into a corner. It remains to be seen, but yeah, I could see Devers having an absolute monster series in San Francisco to really stick it to us. And I'm just hoping that 2 of the 3, preferably Roman and Meyer, can really do their part in this series coming up and give us some hope that we can make something of this going forward in the post-Devers era.
Yeah, so another comment on a play that happened today. One of the topics that came up in the last week was the player development, and I think we all remember the video of them teaching Roman Anthony how to field a ground ball in the outfield, because he came in with his glove, you know, perpendicular instead of down. Today there was a ball hit over his head to right center, and it caromed off the wall, and it was actually – and maybe it was yesterday, but anyways, regardless, it was the center fielder that came over to field the carom.
Yeah, it was last night.
It was last night. Okay. And it's a little play, right? And Rafaela was in position and he made a throw into the infield and there was no extra base. But the ball's over your head. It's a sure double. What are you doing? Are you not aware of the angle of the outfield wall? Anytime you go play at a stadium you haven't played at, you go out and we see it at Fenway all the time. Yeah. If you go early to batting practice, you know, I've seen videos, I've been in the building when it's happened. They bring out the young left fielder, they stick him in left field and they fire fungo balls off the wall so he can get used to caroms. Like, there's got to be a discussion that wall is angled that way. This is where you need to be. Once it's a sure double, you need to overrun the ball, be there for the angle. It just goes back to the player development issues that have obviously frustrated Alex Cora. It's a little play. It didn't hurt us. Rafaela was right where he needed to be to back him up. But it's another little mini mistake that, you know, maybe you don't even pick up on. I remember earlier in the season, I think Marcelo Mayer made a third out at third base on a mid-sized fly ball to right field where he got thrown out. I think it was to end an inning. It's just little stuff that the younger play, and look, they're younger players. I get it. They're you know, three guys under 22. They're going to make the mistakes. Campbell at times look like he's, you know, running around like a chicken with his head cut off. But these are the starts, the plays that you got to make at the big league level to win consistently. And that's what we need to get back into the race if we are going to have any hope at the division, which personally I don't think we do, or even to stay in the wild card hunt. But they got to start doing the little things until somebody emerges that can stabilize this lineup. I don't understand why Nevarez wasn't catching today. It absolutely frustrates me to no end. And I'm running out of patience with how ineffective Wong is when it was okay. Let me put it to you this way, Chris. To me, it was okay last year because he hit. There's big portions of the year he's hitting 330. And it's like, well, we'll put up with some defensive, you know, some defensive issues because he's hitting. But he's really not contributing. I know he had a hit today, but he's really not contributing. He's certainly not driving the ball or hitting for power. And then you put him in there as the backup catcher defensively, and he's still not good. Might be worse this year than it was last. So, you know, I don't know if you want to weigh in on those two topics.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, speaking to the defense as far as with the kids, they have to play sound defense. If you're going to come up here and bat, you know, 067, sub 100, 200, whatever, you have to be sound on defense. And Mayer, to this point, I think overall has been. Christian Campbell, since literally he was injected into this lineup defensively, has been shaky, especially in big moments when the game gets tight and he starts to get the jitters, but he's got to transfer balls on his, you know, off foot or off angle. And Roman Anthony, to this point, again, it's a week and a half, but he's had some mishaps. And, you know, it's funny, like you said, you know, it turned out to not be that big of a deal. I mean, to be honest with you, I looked at it completely different. I looked at it like it was, let me say that differently. I looked at it as not a big deal, but for a different reason. I looked at it as not a big deal because we were down 5-0. Had that been a tied game or a close game or where we had a slight lead, I think it's an even bigger deal. Especially if runners in scoring position. I mean, someone is surely scoring. In fact, I think actually someone did score off of that from second. But nonetheless, I think with Connor Wong has just been an absolute dreadful player this season. And to your point, last season, yeah, when you're batting above average, you deal with it. You deal with some of the, you know, the pass balls or the, you know, not being able to throw people out, throwing it into center field. And whatever errors you want to place on him from a defensive standpoint. This season, his defensive mishaps have been very similar to like the plays that we were talking about, Roman Anthony. Like there's plays where it's like the ball's hitting the dirt and it's bouncing past him. He's not even going after him. Or it's clearly going to be about a foot and a half in either direction of him or above his head, and he just sits there and watches it. It's completely unacceptable. You're not swinging the bat well. You're contributing nothing offensively, and you're not even trying. I know we joked around, it was a couple of weeks ago, where there was a ball I think Walker Buehler tried to chase down 30 rows into the stands the next pitch after a pass ball that he obviously had no shot at going after, but it was a hell of a lot better effort than Connor Wong. I don't know what his deal is this year. It's probably the fact that, you know what, he just knew Devers was going to get traded. We were going to start talking about Mookie Betts. We just really wanted to jam that knife into our back, make us feel even worse about this whole situation. But yeah.
The thing that makes it confusing for me is he's not helping himself at all be marketable to the rest of the program. I'm sure he's butthurt that Nevarez has taken his job. I mean, we saw how Devers handled being moved around defensively. And Devers is potentially an all-time great left-handed hitter. That's not Connor Wong. He should be playing every day, every inning to stay in the major leagues. And you know, performance in professional baseball is all, I mean, you want it to be for the name on the front of the jersey, right? It's like, play well, help the Red Sox win. But even if you can't do that for whatever reason, Narvaez took my job, you still need to do it for the name on the back. Like, you're not making yourself marketable for other teams. You're not helping yourself make money playing baseball. He's been really bad. And I haven't looked up his contract right now, you know, where he's at. But, you know, if he's not going to be on the Red Sox next year, and by the way he's playing, he probably won't be on the Red Sox around the deadline.
Yeah,
Who's going to want a player playing like this? You know? So that's my thought on it. Chris, I wanted to switch topics on you a little bit, maybe surprise you a little bit. Do you have an opinion? So I've been busy and I've read Cliff Notes, so maybe you can fill me in, but there's a story that came out, I believe yesterday, that the Red Sox have been using AI for the initial rounds of the, of applicants for jobs. This is coming out 2 days after Devers is traded to San Francisco. Apparently the Red Sox, and again, fact check me, and I'm reading the comments on the stream here. They get about, 500 applicants or so. And one of the things they do is they send them through AI interviews before you can get to a real human being. Do you have a take on that?
Yes, I do have a take on that. First of all, based on what you just said, that does seem accurate based off of what I read. Although same position, the counter argument from the Red Sox is newfound, and who even knows if it's true at this point. Taking everything at face value regardless, my take is it was harder to get my job here on this podcast than it would be to be a general manager for the Red Sox if even half of that is accurate. That's my take.
So I understand today they responded to it. My point isn't even about the AI. Like I use AI in my business, not to interview candidates, but we use AI. I mean, it's not running the entire program, but there's a use for it. Why even respond to it? Who cares? They're so petty. Like they don't talk about and make themselves publicly available for Devers until the following day at 8 p.m., which is about 28 hours after the trade. But yet they respond right away because we think we look stupider. That's the perception because we're using AI. This program, and obviously you can see my name tonight is Sam Kennedy Lies. The front office is an absolute bleep show. And, I am more and more concerned about the ability to get talent into this organization. And I'm not just talking on the field. I'm talking in the clubhouse. I'm talking in the front office. I'm talking about scouting. This thing is nuclear the way it's been exposed this week. And I love the Red Sox. I've lived in South Florida for 16 years. I went to the Cup Finals last night. I go to all these hockey games. You think I care? I don't. I had no emotion. All I could think about is why it wasn't the Bruins. I am stuck with this organization for the rest of my life. And it just seems like it's a rudderless ship.
Yeah, I think to take it on a more serious note, what it really tells me, breaking down what you just said as far as with the AI, right? To your point, we trade Devers. They literally schedule more than 24 hours later to meet with the media via Zoom, right? To address what is
correct
the biggest move in Red Sox. Let's just call it the last 5 years, but I would argue this is bigger than Mookie because everyone.
I'd go back to Nomar.
Yeah, it's as big since Nomar. So we'll just say that. So let's say the last 25 years. And they immediately address like AI. So what that really tells me is that there's an underlying ulterior motive with the Devers trade, because there's no way in God's green earth that they thought that people weren't going to think they were number one, foolish, stupid, or that there was some sort of motive in trading Devers that was going to look negatively upon the organization. Plus they all have Twitter. They saw everyone's reaction. They saw the names. I mean, hell, Craig Breslow's address is being thrown out there. So I'm sure they got
that. That's not right, by the way.
It's not. But like they get the hint, and yet they still proceed to respond more than 24 hours later. As soon as there was a hint that they used AI at any part of the process, I think it was within 10 minutes there was like a tweet or there was something out there, a statement from the Red Sox. They knew that both were not going to look positively, yet they chose to address one, which tells me that there's another motive as to why Devers isn't here. And I don't know what that is. There's a million different stories out there. I don't even want to try and speculate because you know what the truth is? It doesn't matter. The end result is he's not here. In the moment we are in right now, we are not a better team for it, regardless of the reason he's here, whether you think it's right or not. It's just a fact. And my concern is where the heck is our front office in making us better? Like you got your hashtag Sam Kennedy Lies. I've got to spend the money because you know what? Maybe getting rid of Devers was the best move for this franchise long term. I don't know. But I can tell you this, unless they spend that damn money, it's not. It just isn't.
Jules is right in the chat. He's going to say it better than I can. He says, Chris, they don't care. And that is a true statement. So as we end the Seattle series, we're going to have a day off. The Sox are going to have a day off on Thursday and enter the San Francisco Giants series. Obviously, things are going to change possibly tomorrow with teams in play when we're not. But as we sit here right now, we're 5 games out of first place in the AL East behind the New York Yankees. And we are in sole possession of the last wild card spot, half a game ahead of both Cleveland and Seattle, chasing Toronto by 2 games and the first wild card, Tampa Bay, who's 2.5 ahead. So, Chris, what's your Terry, what's your thoughts going into the San Francisco Giants series, my friend?
I think maybe they win one at this point. They'd be lucky to. I mean, do we even know who the projected starters are at this point? I think it's Hunter Dobbins is on Friday. That much I do know.
I always think he gives us a chance to win.
Yeah, I actually, that's a game I feel pretty good about. And then you got Bayo versus Rout and Giolito versus Robbie Ray. I mean, to be honest, I have felt worse from a pitching matchup standpoint in some of the more recent and previous series where I thought we would get swept, at best win 1 out of 2. I just think the Devers factor, I think that the way that we played against the Mariners, there's just a lot that tells me, to your point, there's a lot of smoke and mirrors right now in those 2 wins out of 3. I think we win 1 out of it, and I think it could expose a lot of, you know, foreseeable problems for the near future until we figure out what our identity is going to be. Because right now it's the kids, and the kids ain't it. And it's not that they're bad. It's just they're not ready.
They're not learning at the big league level. You can't expect that, you know, you just can't. So, you know, my commentary about the Giants series, and I said it a little bit tongue in cheek earlier with that, I don't remember what I said, 9 of 11 with 6 home runs. I mean, obviously he's not going to be nuclear, but he's going to, you know, win a game, get a big hit. He's going to be a tough out. He'll be super focused. Obviously some things went personal and he'll lock in and be a significant issue. I'll be interested to see how much the Sox pitching attacks him, specifically if there's a chance to pitch around him to do so. So I think he'll draw some walks here if they're overly cautious with him specifically. But look, San Francisco's 41-32. They're on, at least as I sit here right now, a 3-game losing streak, so they're not playing their best baseball. We are technically still playing our best baseball on the year. Our pitching has been absolutely awesome, except for the Buehler start the last almost 2 times through the rotation. And the benefit there is that we're not seeing some of the middle relievers that we've had to see, look at, watch, try to pitch earlier in the season. It's getting to the high leverage innings. And so we're seeing Weissert, we're seeing Chapman, and, you know, we're staying away from some guys that have been typically problematic. So if that trend continues, I think they'll be competitive in this series. I do. And you'd have to hope for timely hitting. Now, with that said, with the emotion of the Devers thing and all of it, I expect to lose the series just because that's what this team has been all year. If I'm wrong and they win this series and they play well, they continue to play better defense and starting pitching's, you know, that 5 to 6 innings and you're in it, then I'm going to be strongly encouraged that this is not just a trend, but maybe who they're becoming. I'm not there yet, but doing it in the Giants series would, you know, point the needle in the right direction for me. So that's where I'm at on it. Prediction, they lose the series, they win a game. But if they do win this series, I'll be speaking a different tune on Sunday night.
I second that. I think if they're able to win this series – with the emotions coming off the Devers trade and then having to face him so quickly, I will feel a lot better about this team.
Yeah, for sure. So that is going to wrap up our show here on Wednesday, June 18th. I hope you all enjoyed, and be sure to get our attention on Twitter and social media. We'll look forward to the next one. Thank you.
Lowe's knows how to set off your July 4th with savings. Right now, buy one, get one free on select one coat coverage interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Plus, get two select 2 or 2.5 quart red, white, and blue annuals for just $10. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for more details.